This is at Morehead State University, 1925-1950, Oral History Project, supported by the Morehead State University Foundation. This is an interview with Jesse McKellar, McKellar, October 1st, 1982, and the interviewer is Bob McLeod, McLeod. All the Scotchmen are here.
Oh,
today.
Yes.
Jesse, can you tell us about when you came and why you came to the university?
I remember it was in the summer, and we were up in Madison, and Dr. McLean had called for an interview, and we got the message in Madison, and I ran out and bought a hat, boarded the train, and came up to Minneapolis and had an interview with Dr. McLean.
That would have been the summer of 1924?
24. Mm-hmm. And then I started in the fall of 24.
What did the campus look like when you got here?
Well, there was one main building that housed the campus school, the library, the coach's office, Miss Frick and my office. What else? Everything was in that one building. Then there was Weld Hall, which had the sciences, and the two dormitories, Comstock Hall and Wheeler Hall. And that was it.
That was the campus.
Mm-hmm. As far as I remember.
How did you, when you got to town, how did you get out here from the train? I take it you came in by train.
Yes. I stayed with the Bosworths, and they lived in one of those houses that was eventually purchased by the alum when we had the fire and whatnot. And their daughter was married to Dr. Jim Duncan of Morehead. I don't know whether you knew him.
I remember him.
Uh-huh.
Did when you arrived by train, did you get off at the Morehead station?
Yes. Yes.
How did you get out to the school then?
I think the Bosworths met me, as I recall.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. And I lived with them for some time.
So who were some of the people that you worked with back in that period?
In the department?
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. anybody.
Well.
Especially the department.
Yes, Miss Frick was the head, and Sliv Nemzik was the coach, and that was it.
That was the department.
Yeah.
What did the curriculum look like when you came in? What type of classes were you teaching?
Well, general sports classes and methods courses and individual sports, dance, everything from tap to...
You were doing all of that. How about Sliv? What did he teach?
He coached football, basketball, everything.
Did he teach also?
Well, he had some health courses, I believe. Yes, I'm pretty sure he did.
And what was Flora teaching then?
She taught history and methods and measurement, I believe. We had a heavy load.
Well, now, what about the women's athletic program at that time?
Well, it was mostly intramural. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the competitive aspect that it is now.
What type of sports did you have?
Well, we had field hockey, soccer, volleyball, basketball.
Would you compete against Concordia or North Dakota
Agricultural
College? Well,
we had a nice rapport with Concordia and North. It was AC then, right? And we were competitive, but not overly competitive, should I say?
Not quite like the competitiveness of today.
No. The emphasis was different. But it was a nice relationship.
As the time went on,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking 24, 25, and on into the 30s, was there any change in women's either physical education or athletic programs?
I think I organized Women's Athletic Association along in there.
What?
Was in charge of that. That was competition between intramural groups that were formed. Sororities had teams, and this group had a team.
could you tell us a little more about the WAA, I suppose?
Yeah,
it was,
Women's Athletic Association. And then it became Women's Recreation Association, and it branched out into more activities.
Who were some of the leaders? Some of the girls that were...
Oh, dear.
You remember any of them?
Well, I remember Jewel Lindy was an outstanding basketball player. She's from Neche, North Dakota. And, in field hockey, one incident was, I always had one girl that would play so long and then her toes would cramp. So we'd have to stop, get the cramps out, and go on.
Where did you play those games, the field hockey games?
Well, it was a substitute field, I'll tell you, on the edge of the campus.
Do you remember which edge it was?
Well, yes, it would be west. No, it would be east.
On the east side, mm-hmm. over towards where they later built Doll Hall?
Beyond that? Well, I shouldn't say beyond, across from it. That area.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I imagine the football field was about...
It was close.
It was close mm-hmm, to where you were.
Mm-hmm. We were just beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the what kind of gymnasium facilities did we have in 1924?
Oh, dear. Not very good. It was in that same building.
In that one big building called Old Main?
Yes, had posts mm-hmm. that we had to dodge and...
Oh, it had posts right in the playing court?
Well, at the edge, so you had to watch. And mm-hmm. we had social activities there. Dr. McLean had a lot of formal events, I remember. And we dressed formally and receptions.
And you had those in the gym?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What types of events would those be?
Well, just yearly events.
Celebrating somebody's birthday?
No,
or
nothing in particular, but he...
Just wanted to have an event.
Mm-hmm.
Did the men dress formally for these two?
Semi and some formally.
Back in those days, were there many men on the campus when you first came here?
Not, mostly women. Uh-huh. I'm sorry, I can't give you the exact...
Oh, we can get that out of the old record, uh-huh. but I was just wondering what your reaction was.
I felt that... The women dominated.
Oh, they did. Okay. the president, you mentioned a couple times, Dr.
McLean.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us anything about him?
Well, he was a Scotsman.
Must have been a good fellow.
Absolutely. But very likable.
Could you describe him? Was he a tall fellow?
Well, average. Mm-hmm. Always neatly dressed.
Was he the one that wore the bow tie all the time?
No, I don't recall a bow tie.
But he was neatly dressed, and I've heard him described as rather conservative.
Oh, yes, he was a conservative man. In fact, I think once he returned money to the state, which irked many people. Now, maybe you've heard that.
I've heard that once, and I guess
I'm not accurate on it.
That something doesn't happen very often.
No, 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 indeed not.
When we got into the 30s, was there any change at all as we went, after about 5 or 6 years here and we came in the Depression period? Did you notice any changes in the university?
Yes, and that's when general education came in with Dr. Snarr. No, he was in the 41, that's right. Yes, we noticed the depression in our enrollment.
How did the depression affect the students?
Well, they went along with it, but I think enrollment dropped, if I remember correctly.
Was there any type of loan programs for kids at that time, or were they able to go to banks and get money?
I don't know. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It seems to me there were loans, but I don't know who sponsored them.
Who were some of the other teachers that were here with you?
Oh, Alice Corneliuson, Clara Unseth,
What did Clara teach?
She was a supervisor in the campus school.
Oh, of physical education?
No. She was in the grade, just regular. They don't have campus school now, do they?
No, we phased the campus school out about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Marie Sorkness?
Yes. And it was during McLean's era that we were pressured to go on get our master's. So there were several of us went to Columbia, Alice Corneliuson, Verna Heston, Olga Korsbrecht, Clara Coupler, myself, to name a few.
Did you all go together?
We drove one summer out. They came to Blanchardville, where I was born, and then we went on from there. They picked me up there.
And you you studied just summers, or did you
take
a full year?
Yes, just summers. Mm-hmm.
And
I had been there before for a summer, but the work I took applied.
How did you pick Columbia? I mean, the president suggested you go on to graduate school.
Yes.
I'm wondering why you all went to Columbia.
Well, I don't know just why. I guess it was a place to go at that time.
When you lived here in the early years, how did you get over to Fargo? Was there any public transportation?
Oh, yes, streetcars. I didn't have a car, but there were streetcars.
Did they come out to the campus area?
Right to the entrance.
Right out by the gates.
Right by the gates. Mm-hmm.
And did the streetcar go over to AC, North Dakota AC?
Yes. Sometimes we'd go over for programs over there, go by streetcar.
Is that the way your teams traveled?
No. Well, sometimes. But
How would you travel with your team to, say, North Dakota State, or AC, as it was then?
Sometimes some of them would have cars. We'd go in cars or streetcar.
Did you ever take a team on a longer trip than to Fargo?
No.
Didn't go out to Valley City or any of the other schools?
Well, once we went up to Grand Forks, I guess, but that was...
Was that to compete?
Yes.
What type of activity?
Well, basketball.
Were you the basketball coach, too?
Well, I don't know whether you call it coaching. I had charge of it, yes. Most of the sports on Flora Frick was there.
When we got into the 30s, was there any change in the physical education faculty? There were you and Flora and Sliv? Mm-hmm.
Oh, we went... I think up to Snar's time, and I'm not positive on that.
Okay, that would be about the time Roy joined the faculty then, or was there some other people that came into the
No, I believe Roy did come. You'd have to check with him. I'm not positive. But he was one that was hired from Moorhead High School to come to the college.
And I remember during the war years there was quite a turnover in men's teachers there. Do you remember any of the others that were here at that time?
Mm. Funny, offhand, I have a blank.
Well, I remember Roy's name was there.
Yes.
And I guess that he stayed right on through the war years.
Yes.
Can you tell us anything about that period, when the National Guard left, for one thing? Is that... Was that as big an impact on the
Very much
areas
so.
we've
yes.
heard?
I think Don went, didn't he, with the National?
Don went with them, I think.
Yeah, that's quite an exodus.
Do you remember when they left? Did they march out of here, or did they just kind of drift away, or?
I don't recall.
All right. How about when the Air Force training squadrons came?
Oh, that was quite... They marched over from Concordia and came to MS. And we turned over the gymnasium to them. And we had substitute places to go. The armory and I don't know where all.
When... You say you turned the gym over to them. You mean, did they use that for living?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And the rooms down in the basement of Weld, or McLean.
Why did they march over here from Concordia?
I don't know the particular reason, so I would hesitate to say.
We kind of jumped ahead here when we talked about the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we haven't gotten rid of the old gym in Old Main yet. You'll have to tell us how that disappeared.
Well, with the fire, you see.
With the fire
in
1930?
See, everything was destroyed. And then the building program started.
What did you do for physical education classes when the gym...
I went down to the armory and out of doors, substitute.
Did the armory work? Was that a satisfactory facility down there?
It worked out all right. They were a lot of good cooperation, and we accepted things and did the best we could.
Well, then they built a new gym.
Yes.
A few years later.
Mm-hmm.
And can you describe that new gym to us?
Well, I guess it's still in existence.
No, it's gone.
It is.
Yeah, it's a computer center now.
Oh, well, it had to have some repair, of course, after the Air Force had been there.
They're pretty rough on the facility?
I guess so. At least Dr. Canabla thought so when he was president. I know he came and had a meeting in the gym about replacing things.
After the war was over and these people came back,
mm-hmm.
Could you describe that period to us at all? Tell us anything?
Well, we had quite a few come back from the Air Force. And I remember, there was a fellow that taught in Fargo. But several of them came back and finished, got a degree at Moorhead.
They liked the planes.
Joe Colba was one. He was a very fine fellow. I remember him distinctly.
I'd like to return to the WAAA and women's athletics in general. A lot of people would really be interested in your perception of how women's athletics changed from the time you started through the 30s mm-hmm. and 40s.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there was a time when, I don't know why, the interest changed a bit with the girls. They didn't come out as regularly as they did in the past. And, things change just like institutions change and people change. They maybe found other interests, or maybe the leaders of the activity weren't dynamic enough.
Well, this would be, I imagine, in the 30s then that you saw
mm-hmm.
this happening.
Mm-hmm.
Did the intramural program then dwindle?
Oh, a bit. Mm-hmm. It would go down and up and down.
What do you remember? What the what your approach in teaching athletics to prospective teachers? I'll just leave it there. How, do you remember how you approached it with them?
Well. They were mostly methods courses mm-hmm. in teaching mm-hmm. basketball and soccer and field hockey. The emphasis wasn't so much on the coaching angle as, I should say, the teaching of the skills.
One of the people that you worked very closely with was Flora Frick.
Yes.
And could you describe Flora for us and tell us just anything you'd like uh-huh. to about your relationship?
She was a character and a delightful one. We got along fine, but we weren't intimate. I mean, we both had different interests outside of college, but we got along fine.
When you describe her as a character, can you give me some examples of her?
Some of the faculty were disturbed the way she dressed. It didn't bother me, but that was just the way she was. And she was a very generous soul, almost to a fault, I felt. But
generous in what ways would that
be? Gifts and taking you places and having you to her home.
And where did she live?
It was on 11th Street. Her father lived with her for a while, and she built this home, and he lived with her.
I believe that's the home at the corner of 11th Street and 9th Avenue.
I believe.
Well, I've heard, and I'd like to ask you if you can remember any stories about Flora and Sliv and their interactions.
Well, I didn't get in on too many of them, but they were both determined people.
Was it a question of the use of facilities that was ever discussed between them? Like who was going to get the gym?
Well, that was worked out pretty well. No. Pretty well.
Could you describe some of the things that you and Flora put into the four-year curriculum, because you were right at the start of that in 1924.
At that time it was pretty broad: kinesiology, history, methods courses.
And I suppose a lot of the activities that
besides
you
mentioned.
I'd like to come back to the Great Fire.
Oh.
And how did you first learn about the fire?
Well, it so happened I was at Sliv Nemnik's brother's home, and we were having potato pancakes. The first I'd tasted potato pancake, and this alarm came, and it was quite a fire.
Where was the... Sliv Nemzik's brother's home. Was that near the...
Not too far away. I can't give you the...
What time of day was it?
Well, we were having evening...
Evening meal.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fire, I imagine, lit up the sky.
Yes. Oh, indeed it did.
What... Did you come over and watch?
Yes.
Then?
Mm-hmm.
Were there... What kind of fire department did we have then?
Well,
was it horse-drawn?
No, not that I recall. No. I remember somebody saying that they threw a piano out a window and carried a birdcage down the stairs. You do some funny things, I guess, when you...
The fire. We talked about President McLean a little bit. Could you describe President Snyder to us?
Yes, he was a man very much interested in general education and encouraged some of the faculty to go to Chicago University, learn more about it. And I think you'll find Dels Holmquist can tell you a great deal about the general education course. I don't know whether it's in existence now.
The President Snar pushed, it sounded like both President McLean and President Snar encouraged you people to go on to graduate school and started a number of programs.
Mm-hmm.
What were the relationships of the faculty with the president, first McLean?
Well, I think generally they were real friendly with him. I don't think quite as friendly as with Dr. Snar. But they were two different gentlemen.
Okay, when you said they were probably more friendly with McLean, is that what I heard?
Well, that's the way I felt, or maybe it was my personal reaction.
When did you have any teaching experience prior to coming to Morehead State?
I went to Marinette, Wisconsin for about a year and a half, I guess it was, because I finished in 1922 at Wisconsin.
And you graduated from the University
of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
For my Bachelor of Science.
And then taught physical education at Marinette?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And how did President McLean get your name? How did he ever come to know about Jesse McKellar?
That I don't know. I never found out. unless I was on the list of... No, I wasn't either, because I had this job at Marinette. I remember the principal was a Mr. Neverman. Maybe he recommended.
Probably could have. Mm-hmm. Did we have, for instance, at the University of Wisconsin and at Moorhead when you got here, did we have anything like the placement office that we have now? How did people get jobs when they finished at Moorhead and Wisconsin and so on?
Well, recommended by department. I know physical education department.
Did you sign up somewhere? Does someplace let people know you're interested in getting
jobs?
Yes,
yes.
So it probably was not too far different than...
Well, I think it's developed more now.
Probably a little more streamlined.
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to ask this question about your impressions of the student body, and I know that's a tough one.
Yes,
it
is.
Today, people ask me that, and I have trouble mm-hmm. with it. But could you?
Well, I found them very cooperative. Mm-hmm.
Were
most willing.
Were they generally from the Fargo Moorhead area?
Well, in neighboring towns.
Did we have any foreign students here at that time?
I remember, I don't know what year it was, Dean Jenkins brought in a foreign student to one of my classes, but he didn't stay very long. I don't know whether he was the only, and I forget where he was from, but maybe because there were not other students from that country, which I think is sometimes a mistake if they just come singly and...
The question is asked, suggested for us, what were the impressions of administration and faculty peers? In other words, what were your impressions of the faculty at that time? That's a tough one, too.
Yes, I'll say. I found them very friendly when I came and easy to get acquainted with.
Were most of them from this area, or had they come from...
The faculty?
Yes.
Not necessarily.
They had a, maybe they had a broad faculty background at that time.
Mm-hmm.
What about the college and community relations? How did the faculty people get along with the townspeople?
Well, I have an impression that Dr. Canabla encouraged more rapport between the town business because of the business they got from the colleges here. Now, I may be mistaken on that. It's my impression.
And Dr. Canabla would be the president who followed Snar.
Yes.
And from 55 to 58.
Now, in Dr. Snar's time, he also started adult education evening courses.
Oh, could you tell me a little about that?
Well, I remember Miss Fitzmaurice taught conversational French, Spanish. Then they had other courses, too.
Did they teach them all in the community here, or did they go out?
No, some of them I drove in for them.
That Fitzmaurice be Virginia Fitzmaurice Grantham.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. How about the students? How did they get along with the community people?
Well, rivalry with Concordia, but a good rivalry.
I guess that would be a good question, too. What can you tell us a little about the relationships with Concordia there?
Oh, we were always anxious to beat them.
Did the girls feel that, too, when they were... competing intramurally, that they wanted to...
Oh, they wanted to win, of course, but the emphasis was not just on winning. It was comradeship.
What was the comparative, if I remember right, the comparative sizes of the two schools at that time? Concordia was much larger. Did this have any effect on our relationship with them?
I didn't feel so.
Did the students here have, did they spend time with the Concordia kids? Was there?
Oh, yes, I think they dated back and forth.
Jesse, let's talk about some of the people that came in the early 50s mm-hmm. or late 40s mm-hmm. and to physical education. Could you tell me something about the Don Andersons and T.E. Smiths and those people?
Yes, they were very fine students and good students.
Well, Don and T.E. were students of yours for a while, yes. But then they joined the faculty.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Wonderful colleague.
And there. And you mentioned to me earlier that Dr. Canabla brought in the first replacement for first person in physical education, women's physical education,
mm-hmm. now,
to support you and Flora.
Uh-huh.
And I remember the name, Roxy Diver.
Well, yes, that's right. That's right. But was Flora here then? No, no.
Well, she replaced Flora, I think. Wasn't that what happened?
Dr. Canabla hired her. You see, Don was chairman of both men and women.
Mm-hmm. And who were the first women then to be added to the department?
Well, Mary Montgomery mm-hmm. and the dance teacher. Her name has slipped my mind.
I don't remember who that was either.
Yeah. Her husband was on the faculty. And I forget what department he was in. Mm-hmm. But she was added. Not full-time, part-time.
And that relieved you of some of the mm-hmm. dance teaching.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Jesse, could you tell us a little about the emphasis as you see it in women's physical education mm-hmm. and how it's changed over the years?
Yes. Well, I think personally it has brought more emphasis on competition, like the men's mm-hmm. program. And I don't know, maybe it's age. Sometimes I think it's good. Sometimes I think maybe it emphasizes a highly skilled person. I don't know what their intramural program is, but seems like there's a lot of emphasis now on girls' athletics.
How about in the teaching of physical education itself, taking the extracurricular out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen any changes over the years in that?
Well, I think, for instance, on gymnastics, it's different in its approach now. And
was gymnastics a greater part of the curriculum in your time?
Well, a lot of formal marching exercises and apparatus, and I think the emphasis on the apparatus is different now. It's more advanced.
You mentioned the marching and the formal exercising.
Mm-hmm. Swedish.
the formal Swedish exercise. Mm-hmm. Could you describe that to us?
Oh, you did everything on command, you know.
Who would give the commands?
I would.
What kind of commands would you give?
Forward, march, and so on, to the rear, march.
And what was that in all classes, or was it a kind of a warm-up, or what?
No, it was regular class.
Class on
mm-hmm.
marching.
Mm-hmm. And exercise. It was combined. And you did your exercises on command, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. It was the arm exercise, leg, body.
What kind? Could you describe some of the exercises to us?
Mm-hmm. Might be stretching the arms up and out, back, but you did it on command, and then class halt to stop it. That sounds very formal, doesn't it?
What would you do if they didn't follow the commands?
Correct them.
They didn't have that choice, I guess. Well, go ahead.
Now the floor gymnastics, which I think is marvelous, has taken the place of the gymnastics and apparatus work that we had. Much broader program, and I like it.
What were some of the other things you did in the physical education classes? You mentioned marching and,
yes,
and formal exercise.
That would be for a period of time, and maybe we'd go to sports.
One of the emphases some years ago was on showers. Was that the big issue?
Oh, goodness, yes.
Could you tell us a little about how you approached that issue?
Well, we had supervision on it. They'd get their towel, or have their towel, and sometimes we'd supervise it, sometimes not.
And when you
some you couldn't convince, but that's human nature, I guess.
When you say supervise it, was it...
when they came out of the shower to go to the dressing room.
You'd have a roll call or something?
No, just check them as they come out.
Uh-huh. But you kept a roll then, when you say check them?
Yes, as they came out to determine whether they'd taken one or not.
Was the taking of showers counted in their grade at all in those days?
I didn't.
How did you... physical education is very difficult to grade in a lot of ways, the activities.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
How did you grade? Can you tell us anything of your approach to it?
Well, by their skill as they went along, they had improved. I personally made an evaluation of it.
Okay. We're recording this for some historian sometime to write the history of Morehead State.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And should we leave any one last thought with them about what you really want somebody to write about in the history of Morehead State?
Well, I think it should be written, and I think maybe if I'd had a little more time on what questions were asked, I could have done some research on it myself.
Right. So this is more of an open-ended thing. You can write the other stuff. Okay, that's the end of the oral interview with Jesse McKellar.